Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Everybody?
Yep.
Are we playing? Are we starting?
We're doing this.
Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Bobby just can't stop fixing things.
I know.
He's looking around. This ain't right. No.
He's looking for a third laptop or a third keyboard.
This isn't quite enough. We got the ones and twos, but no threes.
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's kick off another DL Gaming Podcast. I got another game to play this week, which is going to be a surprise to you guys. So this is how it's worked. I'm going to give you the abbreviations to the game. You guys are going to have to guess the game. Oh, you guys are competing against each other. There's a twist, though. This is the colon game. All of these games have a colon in their titles.
So they have to do with anuses?
Or the two dots that are in between words that signify.
So you're going to give
it has like a tagline, usually.
Yeah, right? A subtitle.
Some of these have colons that are arbitrary, but all of these have colons. The other catch is all of these games we've played this year.
Oh, wow.
So all these games have been played this year, and they all have colons.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to start with the easiest and work our way to the hardest. This is a top 10 list. So, here we go. The first one, T-B-O-I-R. T-B-O-I-R.
T-B-O-I-R. The Battle of...
This is the... I organize these easiest to hardest, by the way. So, this is easiest.
Wow.
Okay.
Where's the colon?
I was going to see if you guys could do this without the colon, but I'm going to jump in the colon.
Is a colon on top of that? That's a long
title. So, it's T-B-O-I colon R.
Resurrection, revelation. The R is always a something like that.
You guys are terrible. This is also Emilio's favorite game of all time. Played
Skyrim,
it.
Fallout.
No, it's Fallout. The Fallout?
Second favorite game of all time. You guys didn't even get one. This is The Binding of Isaac.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Number two, E colon D.
Elite Dangerous.
Okay.
Boom! Got it.
Number three, S-O colon T-L.
Sony Online. No.
S-O colon T-L. I talked about this last week, actually. Or maybe this week.
The
this is the longest pause ever.
Yeah. Dead air. That's what we aim for here on the DL Gaming Podcast.
You guys are terrible. Spec Ops The Line.
Okay.
C colon S.
Counter-Strike, go.
Nope. C colon S.
Counter-Strike.
C colon S.
Oh. Kama Sutra. Fuck, this game ain't working, dude.
City Skylines.
Oh, yeah.
There's too many options.
Think it through, guys.
There's nobody listening
you're not on the receiving end.
D colon OS.
Your colon saves my D. This is tough.
You guys are officially terrible. Divinity, Original Sin.
I love that game.
Alright, so you guys failed miserably. You guys got one, which was Elite Dangerous.
I won.
Woo!
I think the point is, one, that you guys are both terrible at this, and two, there is this unnatural obsession year with colons.
Yeah.
The Binding of Isaac Rebirth, Elite Dangerous, Spec Ops The Line, City Skylines, Divinity Original Sin, Ark Survival Evolved, Wolfenstein The Old Blood, Call of Juarez Gunslinger, The Hunter Primal, Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas, and Hotline Miami 2, wrong number. Those are all games we've played this year and all have colons.
Maybe it sells games. Maybe it's one of those things like, if you put a colon in your name, you have X, it boosts sales by 10%.
Maybe. I don't know.
It could be. It's just one of those gaming facts or...
I don't know. I think this is just a theory, but I think it has to do with franchises. So you don't have to worry about making like Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2,
I thought
Call
about
Duty 3.
That.
You know, it can just be whatever.
I think almost all of these are first
Rebirth games. Rebirth is a reimagining.
Elite Dangerous is actually a second game. City Skylines, though, is original. Spec Ops The Line, I think, is original. Ark Survival Evolved is original. So, I don't know.
Now, look again. Let me look at this list again. And those are all pretty popular games. Like, it did well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? That's one of those industry things we got to look into.
Maybe there's some sort of secret code in there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Some pattern.
The secrets are in the dots.
Name my firstborn with something with a colon in it.
Yeah.
Really switch
you
it up.
Have a colon in it.
Yeah. So, let's get into actual games, I guess. Because that game, we'll put that on the back burner for doing that one again.
Are you ready to fucking fanboy it out right now, dude?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Chad and I had a little fucking bromance last night.
Yeah.
We played games till almost 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I have 5.5 hours on Trove. And that was straight. That was from downloading to playing.
Which I didn't even want to download because I'm not a Minecraft guy.
It looked terrible because it looks like a MMO that wanted to be Minecraft.
They're like, how can we jump on the Minecraft bandwagon?
Yeah, exactly. And this is Glyph, who makes an MMO almost every day.
Tryon is the company. Glyph is the store for whatever.
Interface.
Yeah, interface.
Okay. Sorry, Tryon?
Tryon.
Yeah, okay. Tryon makes a new MMO every year, and maybe two a year. They did
Rift. That? Didn't they do Rift?
They did Rift, which is probably their best game.
Yeah,
but you've tried that other one.
Oh,
Archeage.
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 Yeah. Archeage. Whatever that is.
And they have a couple more. So going into this, I'm like, well, I didn't know it was by them until I downloaded it,
because it's on Steam.
It's on Steam, and it just had their full release. They're no longer in beta or whatever. So so I thought it was new. I didn't even know that it was open beta. Bobby played it a long time ago. Did you have any thoughts about it then, Bob?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't really get too far into it, but yeah, so it's an MMO and it almost looks a little cel-shaded as far as the graphics go, right? It's almost got a little bit of a Borderlands look.
Because it tries to look like Minecraft, but it's a little more polished than Minecraft. Like it's got a little bit more
style. More stylized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went in and I saw that it was by Tryon, and I was like, oh, it's another cash grab.
Yeah.
This is obviously a cash grab. So going into it, I went into it with that. Chad went into it with,
hating
he didn't
Minecraft.
Like the look of it. So the first 20 minutes, you know, I'm trying hard not to like this. Yeah. I went in this with a sourpuss, I guess.
Me too.
But I was pushing it because it was free and we needed something to talk about. Fucking 5 hours later, yeah. I'm trying. I could go to sleep. I could. But I'm pushing myself to stay awake to see what's over the next horizon. Like, we went on and on, dungeon to dungeon, doing the little quests. It was so fun. We remarked to each other how cool this looked, what a great idea that was.
Yeah.
Mostly it was the dungeon design. I guess. So that really sparked us.
Yeah. So you can, when you go out to this kind of open world and there's different versions of the world. So you go out and maybe you're in like an Old West style area and then you cross the line or whatever and now you're in Candyland.
It's kind of Lego the movie, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like the movie.
Different universes.
But they've got a bunch of these dungeons set up and they've got these kind of smaller dungeons and they got these bigger dungeons. But there's so much variety in these dungeons.
Because
we saw repeats, but
yeah, and not too many.
Yeah.
And even if I didn't see one more new one, I'd still be having tons of fun.
Yeah,
it's free, and here's the kicker right here. Not once did I want to spend money or even see a need to spend money.
Yeah,
they didn't hit me up for money, anything like that. You could buy a package of stuff, but like with the in-game currency that I had, I got everything that I wanted. I was able to buy a mount when they told me to buy a mount for... Because that's when I said...
Exactly.
Okay, is this... If they're going to hit me up for money, it's right here. The quest says, buy a mount from the store. I'm like, okay, for sure, here comes...
No, it says buy anything.
Oh, buy anything. Yeah, yeah. But no, I had plenty of in-game currency for that, and I had some left over, and I bought something else.
And then the classes, which we thought was going to be a cash grab, you can actually buy with their in-game...
With the in-game gold, and they're affordable.
And they're, reasonably affordable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we probably made 8,000 gold last night and the top ones go for about 9,000.
Yeah. Something right? like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
This, once again, this is Trove, by the way. Trove. Yeah. T-R-O-V-E.
Super blocky. Like, it's not beautiful, but I started off the game saying, oh, it's so blocky, I don't give a shit what I look like. And I still, to this, I'd rather not deal with that. Chad got into it a little bit more. He looks fucking ridiculous. He's a gunner or
gunslinger.
Gunslinger. So he has two pistols, and those things have been little dinosaurs, little ducks. They've been
flowers,
gumballs, all kinds of like weird, crazy stuff.
Yeah. I had spaghetti on my head for my hat.
Yeah.
I had the yellow happy face for my face. And I had two remote controls for my guns, and I was rocking that for a little while.
Oh, the remote controls were sweet.
Because you can just skin any item you've collected, you can use that skin for the for your items.
And no additional cost.
Yeah,
you could just customize
yourself. You can do it on the fly. You don't need to be at like a station or whatever.
Yeah. Now, there is a Minecraft portion of this where you can move your plot. You have a house. But the thing is, you could pretty much put that house in anywhere that a house will fit. Which are called plots, right?
Yeah, something like that.
And sometimes you have to look around for them, but they're usually not very far. So instead of having to fucking port yourself back to the city and deal with the whole city, you have everything at your house that you need, and you made everything at that house. I'm not a crafting guy, Chad is, but I never felt a need to craft, never did the crafting seem like too much or that I felt overburdened by the, even the quest that it that needed crafting, I never felt like, oh, this is bullshit. So, and how did you feel about the crafting?
Yeah. No, I'm excited. Like, they have these two crafting stations that you can do for advanced crafting that I need to build, and I'm looking forward to building them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for you, you'll probably never build them and never need to.
I'll use yours.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So, there's no grouping. It reminded me a lot.
We couldn't figure out a grouping. We don't know if there was
one. I don't think there is. There was no need for it. What is the game that we were playing that I said that it reminded me of exactly?
Well, we talked about EverQuest and how, like,
oh yeah, well, it did remind us,
reminiscent of,
guys, we were fucking having fun, like true blue,
and I really wanted to hate this game.
Yeah, yeah, like way back to EverQuest days, me and Chad questing together. It's been a while, at least a year since we had a gaming experience like that. It was awesome. I don't know. If you go in this alone, I don't know if you're going to have as much fun as we did.
Yeah, that was my
buddy.
Thing.
Yeah, I had a buddy, and this just hit our niche. Like,
well,
perfect.
The thing about the buddy system for this game is, so you have a way to basically hearth back to your hub.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then they also have an ability that you can just port straight to your friend.
Yeah.
So if we ran out of potions or whatever, one guy would just go back to the hub and then immediately just port back to us. Like, we never had to like stop doing whatever we wanted to do because we always had somebody there to do it.
I want
to
say maybe the best thing about this is nothing ever seemed tedious.
Yeah.
I never had to run over to you. And the only time that was ever something tedious was running, but I was exploring. I'm actually out looking for big dungeons. So, I highly recommend it for me. I guess same for you, right?
Yeah,
you have definitely. Anything else you want
to, I mean,
add?
It's free to play. Like, there's
it's
no
free to
downside.
Play. There's no reason not to. If you've never played an MMO, try it out. You might like it.
It's very
light on the MMO.
Light. It is light.
It almost seemed more like Starbound to me.
Yeah.
Kind of just emphasized exploration more than combat.
Realm of the Mad God. That's what it's like. It's exactly like that in a different view.
Yeah, it is a lot like Realm of the Mad God. Except it doesn't have permadeath. Realm of the Mad God, remember?
Right,
when you died, you were done.
Yeah, this is like, okay, I died, who cares? Pretty much. I mean, I can port right over to you, or you can resurrect me.
I think there is downsides, because when I died at level 10, it said I lost some magic find or something like that.
Mm.
So I don't know if that is only the case if you, I don't know. But it did mention something about
the me. Loot is fast and furious, but not so much that you're overburdened. The progression of loot was great. A lot better for Chad.
Yeah.
Chad, my magic find, I'm going to bitch right now. My magic find's 50 and his is 8.
11.
And nonstop fucking the top of the line.
So, yeah.
But my tune was much stronger than his. So,
it does the same thing as like WoW or whatever. You start with like like, what were they, blues, and then they went to purples, then they went to oranges, and then it went to this red and finally we went to this one that is basically rainbow colored. And when I was getting like, I had gotten like 6 or 7, and he could only find 1 or 2, and he was bitching the whole time.
That's not even close to accurate. You had 20 okay. in my 2. You actually gave me 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, all in all, no reason not to download it.
Yeah. Definitely give it a try.
Yeah.
Trove. As in treasure trove.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We don't know what the level cap is. You were saying there were some Uber 36 sixes.
Plus.
Was the highest you saw?
Well, yeah, I noticed you can get a character, but then if you wanted to create a new one, you had to pay for that.
You don't have to pay for you can pay for it with the in-game currency or with the in-game currency. And then it's a class changer system. So same character, you just change the class. I think if you want to get a second character slot, I think you have to pay, and there's no way around that.
So I'm at the point where I would definitely not mind throwing them $10.
Yeah.
Have you considered switching your class?
I'm kind of liking my stuff, I might try like a warrior. There's one called Candy Warrior,
Candy Barbarian or something.
Something like that. Yeah. I might try that one out.
Yeah, they all have wacky names.
Because we both have magic. We're both magic based.
We might need a physical. So, but if you want to be OP, pick the Dragonkin or whatever the fuck I am.
Yeah, what was that guy called?
I don't know.
Dracolite.
He's so OP. I'm a tank / DPS / yeah. Everything.
My item had 300 hit points on it. I dropped it for Emilio. He picks it up. He's like, oh, it's got 600 hit points on it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how did it suddenly get double the hit points for you?
I don't know. He's some sort of... Oh, it finally worked out. It's a mage tank. It's exactly what my...
Your favorite class of all time.
That's I just picked worked. It because he has a little baby dragon with him, but it turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Bobby. Cool. What do you got this week? Whoa, is anything on? Oh, yeah, Lego, I guess.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Artemis since we all played Artemis, the spaceship, space bridge simulator.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this last week?
No. We played it almost a week ago. We're recording late this week. But yeah, Artemis Space Bridge Simulator. So it's a game that puts you in the position of being like on the Enterprise. It's not affiliated with Star Trek, although it pretty much is Star Trek.
They just changed names of shit.
Yeah. So going into this, I said, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to tell you right now. This is not going to be fun. But it wasn't too bad. I mean...
There was definitely fun parts there.
Yeah. It got a little repetitive and they need some missions or something to do. But basically what we did is each of us took... stations. I think I was the pilot and the captain.
Helmsman.
Yeah, the helmsman. So I was steering the ship, and it's not really like live action or anything like that. You have all these graphs and readouts and very technical data that you're working with. And Chad, were you doing the shields?
What was I doing?
Engineering.
I was engineering. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you're doing the shields probably and the adjusting power.
The most action on the ship, I would say. You click more than anybody else, I would guess.
Well, the helmsman probably I think the two most fun jobs would be helmsman and weapons engineer, which is what you were. You were the weapons guy.
Not that fun.
No.
Overall, okay. So basically, you played Elite Dangerous, right?
Yeah.
You're one dude in a spaceship fighting other spaceships. It can be done by one guy.
Yeah.
What this game did was break down what needed to be done by one person into 6 jobs. But you need those 6 jobs because the way they broke it down.
Yeah.
And you would in a big spaceship, I would imagine.
Well, you get advantages. For example, the science guy can scan the ships. And if you scan the ships multiple times, you can get their shield frequency, and then you can tell the weapon guy what is the weak shield frequency, and he can adjust the phasers to do more damage against this guy. You don't need the science guy, but it definitely helps you out.
I feel like it's a 3-legged race. We could all run really fast, but then when you put 2 people in a certain situation, it makes that same thing harder, right? But this is what games are, right?
Well, they were very true to the idea of being a Star Trek bridge. Like, and that's how it works on the show. Like, the captain asks for a damage report. He doesn't bring up the damage report on his thing.
Yeah. This tells isn't the a starfighter. It's like a large vessel.
Yeah, so exactly.
You have to keep that in mind.
But in this future, they're all interconnected, wired together, and one person would probably be doing the majority of it. You know, it's like, you wouldn't need to be talking to each other.
Right. But it was fun.
Yeah.
That part of it was fun. He couldn't optimally do his job without my information.
Correct.
And that's why the game has no text. You can't text each other because you need voice for this.
You really do.
And so, yeah, it was a lot like a Starship. Bobby, what did you see on your screen? Because I don't know.
I had two screens. I had the steering screen for the helmsman. I had the captain's
screen. Which is top-down. The graphics are poop, by the way. Like, if you're expecting good graphics, it's not...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, they're not that great, but that's really not what this game's about. Yeah,
it's not.
It's about the experience.
Yeah.
For the captain screen, I had kind of a grid layout, kind of a battleship-looking thing, and I could see where all the enemies were, even very far away. I could see where the mines were, where the gaseous clouds that slowed you down were, and... not too much information on that other than the map. And on the helmsman, I had some adjustments for speed and warp drive or jump drive.
But the helmsman actually can see like a 3D model, right?
Yeah, you can actually see the ship. And that also shows up because I was hosting the game. You have to have a host. I think it's designed for like LANs, but you can easily do it over the... over the internet, if you just forward a port and you just have one person host it, and you can open up another copy in another window of the game and play a part or play a position on that.
But now, the helmsman, was it a top-down view?
Yeah, but it was a different one. It wasn't as
wide. It was close up.
Like, yeah, I couldn't see. I could zoom out a little bit, but I couldn't see like a whole lot of the map. And it had... it showed me which degree, like 0 to 360, I was headed, and I could adjust that. I could also nosedive and climb, adjust the altitude.
Oh, you could?
Yeah.
Because that seemed... I didn't know that was part of the game at all, from my view.
Yeah. Most views are just the top-down view.
So, just to sum this up exactly, like, or try to, like, condense what's going on, we saw an enemy. Our... first thing was we would talk about whether or not we're going to attack it.
Yeah. Because you don't even know what it is. It's just some blip on your radar. So the science guy is scanning it.
Yep. As soon as we get close enough, science guy tells us what it is. And it's and he's still working on getting the weakness. Now, if Bobby moves in too quick before we know the weakness, we could be at a disadvantage. So we got to stay at a distance. So then science officer figures out what that ship is, what its weaknesses are, and... personal information about the captain. That's interesting because the communications officer can now insult that guy accurately. We assume that they would make the mistakes or like get them angry so that they could do, they'll do mistakes. Now you're not typing out things. There's like prerequisites and you can insult him in many ways. And if the science officer did his job, the communications officer knows how to get it under his skin. This is all meanwhile while Bobby's trying to stay close, but not too close.
As the helmsman.
Yeah. And I'm trying to load in. I've got six different kinds of missiles plus our lasers. And I've got to load up the right kind
for the strategy. Plus you're turning on an off shield, right?
Yeah, I could do that. And then, but so could you, right?
No, I couldn't. I think Bobby I can could, as yeah. the oh, captain or
us two could manage shields. And,
and the whole time they're talking, I've just got a schematic of our ship, which shows the damage points on it, and these eight different bar graphs where I can delegate energy to different things and control heat and set coolant to different locations. So I can't do shit until I get information from these two guys.
Chad was asking the most questions, but rightfully so. Like, hey, are we going to need shields? Because if the shields are off, why am I allocating power to shields?
Exactly.
And so on and so on. So I think if you can get six people together and they're nerdy, even a little bit.
First of all,
this is a great time.
First of all, if you don't have buddies to play with, don't even bother. This game is not for one person. This game is barely for two people. We tried for two a little bit and failed miserably.
Yeah.
We loaded up three people and we're doing all right. And then we loaded up a fourth.
And then everything was smooth.
And then we were having a lot of fun. Yeah. So one... if you hate Star Trek or don't care about Star Trek, you probably aren't going to enjoy this game. Two, if you don't have a group that all wants to play this game, you're probably not going to have fun. Three, there is absolutely no tutorial. Like, you are learning... you have to learn everything yourself. basically. So the first two times we played, we just sucked ass. Like, we couldn't fly ourselves out of a paper bag because we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Yeah, but right around third, we started to pull it together.
And that hour that we played that third game, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, I could see the fun in the game, and the more we were learning, the more enjoyable it was. But my big thing about this game is it's just the shell of a game. This is made by a very small group that are just dedicated.
It seems like a garage game.
And they did an excellent job for what they were trying to do. But if we're looking for a fully fleshed out game, I would consider this in beta maybe.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing around it. You just have the pure experience of flying the ship. You have to load up the mission and it just loads up one mission. Like, and if you could put this.
Well, we had several missions, but they really aren't missions. They don't have a narrative or a story that are really an objective. They just have a bunch of enemies, a few gas clouds and a minefield and in several different patterns. We loaded up, I think we tried two or three different missions, and I don't know if these were user made or if I think the whole game feels community made almost, but I think these maps were community made. And, there was just, I mean, we went around, we flew around and we killed a couple of spaceships, but then after that, we were just kind of like, so is this all that we do?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if this was in Star Citizen? Like, this was an option where these big capital ships, maybe you have to have a couple
six people
doing it. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, the level of communication, that was the fun part. Communicating together, working together, and succeeding in whatever goal we had set out.
And then the narrative is driven because you're dealing with other humans.
Yeah.
Here, it's, you want to say that it's pre-scripted and it's going past, like, if somebody would just load up an old episode of Star, like one of the better ones, that'd be sweet. This has, honestly, this was taking, Asteroids and making it a 6-man game. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we just, we dabbled in it. Maybe the whole community here will get on us about this. But please let us know. Because if there was a narrative or something, maybe some exploring, something like that, it's very, very limited from what we were able to access.
And I thought, so we got this as a 5-pack?
6-pack.
As a 6-pack for what, $36?
$35.
Honestly, I feel that's kind of a ripoff. Like, the four of us playing together, you're talking almost $25. Like, $25 for that experience.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I just felt like this should have been like a $2 or $3 game because it doesn't have anything outside. It's just the shell of the game. And if they keep developing it and working on it, it start adding a couple more bells and whistles, I could definitely see it going
somewhere. They have a good foundation. Yeah. For sure.
And the fact that you don't even have servers that you can go to and play, like, you have to set up everything yourself.
There are public servers, but I think that's if you want to play with other people. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Playing against another team would be interesting, but... Mm-hmm.
I think there is PvP, right?
But you would have to go to the forums and try to find a group of people there. I mean, there's not a ton of dedicated servers.
Of people player.
Yeah, that would be really difficult to do. And because there's really not a whole lot to look at, then the idea of exploration doesn't really come into play either. It's not like you're going to cruise the galaxy and just visit exciting places. It's not a whole lot to work at or look at.
Yeah.
I saw a quote by Patrick... What's the guy?
Patrick Stewart?
Stewart? Was it? Yeah, Patrick Stewart. He said... Jean-Luc
Picard?
Yeah. We were visiting all kinds of planets... But they were mostly boring, so we just did an error those weeks.
Yeah.
<that's laughs> There's a lot of bullshit out there, man.
Yeah. So, myself, personally, I can't recommend this game.
Dude, if we would all went to the movies, that would have been a $120 night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but...
When you put it in perspective, and we kind of do say about a lot of games, like, I don't know. We say a lot of games are expensive, but when you put it in perspective of other things... I mean, a beer at the airport is like $12, you know?
It's true. But I think I probably would have rather had that beer than...
A night with me is priceless.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's anything that we're going to be playing again. And that's... it just doesn't have any value for... Yeah. Any lasting value, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think if you're... like I said, if you're way into Star Trek and you have a group of friends that are... I would definitely recommend picking this up.
I bet this has a rabid fan base.
This is such a small percentage.
I'm going to post this on their forums, this podcast, and I'm sure we're going to hear back In droves.
Yeah.
So,
and if you want to get a little humor, they've got the video that they have on the Steam site. They're all in their uniform.
They're all in uniform. Yeah.
There's some funny parts in that, but yeah, it kind of does highlight the game. All right, what else are we talking about?
I gave up on Styx, a Master of Shadow, not because it's a bad game. It's really hard. It's really hard for me. I'm just not good at sneaking around.
You've been giving up on a lot of games. Witcher 3 you gave up on?
No, I played that last night. Okay. I'm just not a stealth guy. I'd rather just go in. Like, why can't I just go fight all these guys? This is what I'd rather do. Plus, I don't have the time. Not a bad game. Do recommend, not a must buy, but definitely if you like stealth games and you ran out of games to play. Now, on the other hand, I picked up Legend of Korra, and it's a beat 'em up 360 game. Not the best thing out there, but I'm such a fanboy of the series. Avatar, the Last Airbender, and Legend of Korra are my favorite animes of all time. So for me to be playing something that looks pretty much exactly like the video game, or exactly like the show. I watch that shit so religiously that I know what's original voice acting. Like, they brought her in and they brought other people in to do things. But it doesn't break up this could easily fit story-wise right into the regular show without disrupting anything. Looks great.
Looks great?
Yeah, I think so. There was some...
I don't know about that.
It's cel-shaded. It looks just like the cartoon.
Yeah, but I don't know. It looked like a last-generation game.
Boo on you. Boo on you directly, sir. So there was... It's probably at first, you lost all your powers,
right? It's a shitty rig, that's why.
there's an old trope where you lose your powers at the beginning of the game, and you slowly gain them back because you know it's a powerful character. They use that whole thing, which is fine. Not fine, but acceptable, so that I can play as Korra. And then you're playing, and you're doing this beat-em-up with no powers, and there's like these weird limitations, like you can't jump kick and stuff like that, and you're like, this is really weird. It's playing really weird. It's because once you get your powers, all that shit makes sense. Like, once you can throw water with your hands, you're doing that instead of jump kicking, right? So you didn't need it for the first 20 minutes. But for the first 20 minutes, I'm like, this game's broken. But it just made sense later on.
Okay.
Using those powers is really cool. One of the things that I really liked is there's items that you could use to change the game dramatically. So half all your hit points, double your XP, or half your damage, double your money that you come in. And you can give yourself these situations if you want for the whole game. I didn't, but it's there. So I thought that was interesting. A lot of items. A lot of the times we'll be like, hey, this game wasn't so good, but if you're a really big fan of this, that's what happened here. There's much better games. If you don't know who Korra is, probably don't buy this game. There's much, much better games. If you're a big fan, pick it up.
Okay. Never watched Legend of Korra, so I will not be picking this up. Plus, I saw you play it, and it did not impress me.
You saw like a on-rails
game. Fighting in some sort of like racquetball court, too. Yeah. And that didn't impress me either. So, I'm going to talk real quick about Call of War as Gunslinger because...
Yeah, keep this under a minute.
I will. So, awesome game. Highly recommend. Bobby said this to death. I didn't know if I believed him. So when I had expectations, but not high expectations. And this game blew my expectations out of the water. It's an amazing game. But... The reason I'm bringing this up is...
But let me shit on everybody's opinion.
No. I'm
there's Spec Ops the line, man. Put me to sleep.
I'm not saying but in that manner. But this got me thinking. Two of my most favorite games is... This game was a lot of fun. And Prince of Persia, the one that kickstarted the reboot. And both of those games are storyteller games. Like, it's... a guy telling a story and you're playing the story he's telling.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That's not the way it happened.
Exactly.
I love that.
I love... Mm-hmm.
First time I saw that, it was so dope.
Yeah. And then when Prince of Persia explains how you can die and restart again, because most games, you die and you restart, and you just accept that as a video game trope.
Right.
You know?
This explains it.
That explained... Like, it was really cool, and this game...
Which is Assassin's Creed as well, right? Because you're playing memories, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of works there, too. And right. I think that was one thing when I brought up when I initially played this game, is that the way that they tell the story kind of makes it work as a video game.
Yeah.
It doesn't break that.
Maybe it helps with the whole, what's the thing when you don't believe what's going on?
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it, but you, if every video game was doing that, it'd be bullshit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It does help every once in a while.
And this one did it really well, because he'll be like, no, it doesn't happen that way. And then the level actually changes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't in the day. It was at night. Mm-hmm. And it's all of a sudden the sun drops and the moon pops up. You know, it's like that sort of stuff, which is just which is just cool.
It lets him do really fun things. And it lets
Have you played it yet?
Oh. You haven't played it yet? Yeah, you got to check
it. You got to play it.
But it lets the storytelling be really surreal, too. Like, you know, when people tell stories, sometimes they're larger than life, and they say, you know, like, oh, and then this ladder came out of nowhere, and literally a ladder will drop from the sky and right in front of you. So it lets it have fun with it. But the gameplay is just so much fun. There's just something very pure about it. It's an arcade shooter, exactly. But also the duels are a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are.
The duels are just this – I don't even know how to describe that. I'm sure there's a way to do it. You have to
What was that like really old game that had live action video?
FMV video.
What was that?
One with the cowboy and the Indian?
The one where there's a video of a dude holding the gun. One of the early arcade games. Because it wasn't
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah. It's sort of like Mad Max.
It was Mad something. Yeah. It had Mal. Oh, God.
Yeah. But anyways.
Do you guys know the rule of shootout? Like, why wouldn't you just pull out your gun and shoot him? Like, why are you waiting for it?
I think it's made up by Hollywood. I don't think that actually ever happened.
I know duels happen. Duels happen. And that has legit rules. It's stupid, but it has legit rules. You take X amount of steps, you turn around, you shoot.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The whole, why are we standing here?
I think...
Why do I need to react to you?
I think the idea was when the clock struck noon, you guys pulled it shot. So it had like a...
That's not how it happened.
Now, if you see someone quick in the gun, and then you pull it first and are able to shoot them, then you're a lot quicker. So I think it's kind of like an honor code, or it just shows that
But somebody's got to shoot first.
Oh, so the guy that shoots first is probably a little bit dishonorable.
You can do that in this game, and you get a dishonorable kill.
Oh, so...
Or if you wait until they draw, and you shoot and kill them, you get an honorable
kill. Obviously, this game knows history and how everything went down. Apparently.
It's got a lot of historical figures in it, too. I'm not sure exactly how accurate everything is, but it does
The guy can barely hold his story together, so probably not very well.
Again, this is Call of Juarez, Gunslinger.
Yeah.
This is...
And there's a lot of Call of Juarez games.
Yeah, there's another...
This particular one, I think, is different than the rest. I've played like 5 minutes of like the original of Cartel, I think it was, and the original one. And
Colon
I don't think
Cartel.
It was... Yeah, Colon Cartel. But I don't think it was anything like this. But yeah, this... I mean, this is my favorite game that I played so far this year, even though it was released in 2013. And again, said this last time too, but this is by Techland, the guys who made Dying Light.
And they're in charge of the new zombie movie game coming out, right?
Oh yeah, which one are they doing?
I believe they're doing... Well, no. Did they do Dying Light?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, did they Dying Light. And then who's in charge of Dead Island? It's the different guys. But they did...
Pandemic? Was that?
I don't know. More questions maybe than
answers. Maybe they are doing the new Dead Island. That actually does sound right.
Which of the skill trees did you go down?
You're going to have to remind me. Which ones were they?
There was one that was dealing with the dual-wielding pistols.
Yeah, that was one I did.
Doing the shotgun.
Yeah.
And then there's one doing the rifle, basically.
I did the dual pistols. Okay. But by the end of the game, I think I was getting a lot from each tree.
Yeah.
But if... I really, even after I had beaten the game, really enjoyed the story, really enjoyed the game, but I kept playing the time trials and some of the other modes in the game where you go through the level and just see how fast you can do it and how many points you can score.
Yeah, because they've got a combo system that's kind of cool.
That's saying something, that you went back after beating it and played it more.
Yeah, and played more content.
Did you finish it, Jeff?
I did, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's not a very long game.
It's long enough, though.
Yeah, it's the perfect length. It's like 5 or 6 hours. Just like Spec Ops, it's like perfectly timed.
You know, it's not perfect length, how long we've talked about this game. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Bobby, Lego Jurassic World, which we gave a copy away to on Twitter. She was very happy about it.
Awesome.
So tell them how to follow Twitter if you do this again.
Yeah, that's I know, I'm sorry that I picked this, but it's so terrible. It's DL Gaming, DOTnet.
Because there's other DL Gaming ones who would have. Yeah,
there was. It wasn't that easy. So DLGaming.net. But the dot is spelled out.
Yep. Or you can just go to the website, DLGaming.net, and click on the Twitter button. That's the easy way.
That's the easiest way to do all of our stuff that we ask for.
And we're doing a lot of our giveaways through Twitter, so definitely follow us on there.
Yep.
But yeah, Lego Jurassic World, really good game. Really enjoying it. I'm a fan of all the Lego games, but I don't play them that much.
Exactly, me too.
I think the last one that I played, to any extent, was the Clone Wars.
Batman for me.
Star Wars, the Clone Wars. And you know what? When I played the Clone Wars and all the other ones that I played, the Harry Potter ones, the other Star Wars ones, there wasn't any dialogue. The characters kind of did this pseudo-dialogue. It's like, rah, 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 which I thought was actually really cool. It's like Wall-E. You could tell what they were saying by their tone and, their expression. But they didn't... It was a shorthand almost. And I really get annoyed with dialogue in games, especially when it's really lengthy or if it's written out. I don't think text as dialogue is worse than it being spoken. I know it's a lot cheaper to do it that way, but... I don't know. It's just a stylistic choice. Like Costume Quest. No dialogue in that. It was all... Or no spoken dialogue. It was all just written. And it made it seem more like a comic book almost. And I'm not saying that's... It was a bad thing and it would have been better if they were actually speaking. But I don't know. I kind of like that about the old Lego games. But apparently now they're actually talking in these. And I guess it's nothing new. I guess they did this in some of the other ones. And they... First of all, this isn't just Jurassic World. It's Jurassic Park, The Lost World. I think they even have the third movie in there. Mm. And Jurassic World. I've already played entirely through Jurassic Park. Did the first level of Lost World. And I'm almost done with Jurassic World.
So they're segmented like that? Like time for the next level. And the level is called Jurassic World.
No, it's like three different... You go to like a hub and you can take the monorail to Jurassic World. Or you can hop on a helicopter and go to The Lost World. Yeah, so you can play through, and that's like all the Lego games. You play through the entire movie. It's kind of an abbreviated version of it, but you go through all the main plot points. And it's for kids, so like nobody dies, which is funny because in Jurassic Park, a lot of people die.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see how they changed the story a little bit. Even they did have the lawyer get eaten like he did in the movie, Gennaro. But at the very end of Jurassic Park, like when the T-Rex roaring, he spits him back out like, see, he lived. Everything's okay. So it's kind of funny to see him do that. And the dinosaurs, they have a lot of fun with that. They act really comical. Like they really take the edge off of the whole suspense and horror that the movies had. But it seems a lot more open world than other Lego games I've played too. They have a free roam mode. So you can unlock characters, dinosaurs. They have a dinosaur creation mode. They have vehicles and you can just cruise around the park and do whatever.
Is it cool? Have you tried it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun because it's just a great environment. I really want to check out Lego World, which I guess is more of their MMO type of Lego game.
Legacy, right? Lego Legacy?
No, there's a new one coming out.
Oh, called Lego Legacy.
Lego World,
which was around on consoles earlier, right?
It's an MMO. I think it's still in beta, I think. I don't think it's officially out yet.
I think on the PC it is, but I don't know. Based on some reviews I read, I think it was been out previously for consoles.
Hmm. My biggest problem with the Lego series is, the production value, I guess, is, it's a... I even hate to call it a AAA, but that's what it is. I just feel that there's a $20 surcharge for the Lego name. Like, these games...
Yeah. Well, I got this on G2A for $9.50. And this game retails for $40 bucks, which is a lot.
And doesn't dip much. Not on Steam, anyway.
Yeah. And you know what's strange is a lot of these Lego games will go on sale at $7.50, $5. Bundlestars.com is having a great deal on a bunch of Lego games right now. But the ones that never go on sale, Indiana Jones. Lego Indiana Jones is always 20. I think it went down to like $14.99 during the Steam summer sale, but I don't know what's different about that game.
The Lego Marvel, actually, I played most recently, and that game was a lot of fun because it had all the Marvel characters, and you could switch to different characters on the fly. That one was a lot of fun.
By the way, the winner of the Twitter contest was at Shark Dre Du, and it's funny because her last name is Dre, and she's getting her PhD, so she's going to be Dr. Dre.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Nice.
So
7 days to Die. I want to talk that real quick.
Yeah, really quickly. I was so let down by this game. It's just that things have moved on. I think this came out before Rust. Yeah,
this is another one. It's kind of another Minecraft kind of clone.
I think it was around the same time as Rust. I remember these were the two big open world games at the time.
Yeah, but this one has digging, right? Like blocks come out. No.
It says Minecraft as Rust is. So that for. The only thing this had over Rust was that the armors looked better when you put them on.
But they don't have cocks.
Not have cocks, and they're not based on length, which are based on race, which are based on name.
Yeah. So I'm already disliking this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Stoner Smurf.
Smurf ran us around, and I appreciate that, but. I was not having a particularly good time. It was, it looks terrible.
Whenever you play these type of games, you always need a guide, someone who has spent way too much time in it. And a buddy of ours ran us through that. And we played this before, too. And
I never played it before.
I'm pretty sure you did.
100% never played it.
Okay, well, I know I played it with him for a while.
Yeah.
One thing I did like about it is it's really easy to group up and find each other. You can just make a group and then find each other on the mini map or see what direction you are on the compass. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Half the game of DayZ is just running around trying to find each other. But the graphics are really bad. The collision with objects is just really odd, which is something that I see in all of these games. It's really hard, especially when you have to melee enemies and shoot them.
Suck.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah, I don't know how so many people are still playing it.
So this game's poop?
By today's standards.
Okay.
Then it might have been okay. Now, definitely. There's just better options out there.
Yeah. One more thing about Lego Jurassic World I wanted to mention. I talked about the dialogue, and they actually have people speaking lines, but in a lot of parts, they just take the lines straight from the movie. And you can tell because you can hear like the ambient background noise.
Interesting.
And it sounds really weird. Like a kid probably wouldn't notice it, but I can tell like, okay, that was definitely Jeff Goldblum right there. Or like, oh no, that one was redubbed or that someone else did that. I saw in the credits, I saw Troy Baker. That dude apparently is everywhere doing voices.
Yeah.
But it almost reminded me of South Park. Like some of them were so bad, they reminded me of South Park when the zombie Nazis came and the zombies would just like talk like the old school.
And they pulled it from
like old Hitler footage from like 1945. Yeah. So it was like this real low quality audio that was just totally out of place. But it's South Park, so it's funny. But it totally reminded me of that.
So it was like nature. It always finds its way.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of the dialogue and the action scenes where there was a lot of background noise is where it was most apparent. But they completely redid the voice for some of the other people. So I don't know what the deal was with that. It seemed like it would have been better just to keep it continuous. But whatever.
I like this. We played a lot of games this week. That's good.
Let's get into listener questions.
Listener questions, which we got a few of them this week, and that's sweet. And one versus Twitter, via Twitter, which is the first time for that, I think. Anyway, so Lab Monkey asks, and this is a really great question. There was a lot of feedback. It went back and forth a little bit on our forums. The role of PC, preserving games, game history. So, like, if you want to go back and play Donkey Kong Country, let's say, what are your chances of going and getting a Nintendo or 64?
Right? Yeah.
Or whatever, just for that one.
Super Nintendo.
What are your chances, if you really want to play it, of going and getting one of those off Craigslist or eBay and then buying the game separately, you're talking whatever amount of money, not knowing that if that shit's going to work, or you could probably find an emulator and the game for probably free or close to it.
Yeah.
And that's just an example. There's many, many. He was playing Xenogears at 4 times the native resolution, so it looked way better than it ever did on the PS2.
Did anybody mention the fact that this is technically not allowed? Like, emulations, you're not supposed to be able to do the Donkey Country. But
technically, nobody cares. I don't think they care. They're not losing sales anymore.
I'm just saying.
It's kind of like a public domain now. It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or close to. But even if it wasn't, like...
And consoles are also kind of jumping on this emulation bandwagon and...
Oh, are they? The reverse engineer. But they say that every console cycle, you'll be able to play all the games. And it never turns out to be.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people are using emulators for really old games. I know me, for instance, I was playing Wall Street Kid recently. Yeah.
What the hell is Wall Street?
Let's not get into
Wall Street Kid. I rented this game from Blockbuster. That's how long ago this game came out. But it's a game where you play a kid who's a stockbroker, and he works on Wall Street, and you've got to manage your personal life. So you got to like go to the gym and take your girlfriend out shopping, propose to her, marry her, buy a boat. You've got to like manage your life and also like make a killing in the stock market. It's a ridiculous game.
This is from the guy who liked playing the janitor space game, yeah. By the way.
Yeah.
That would have been fun with more people. But I found a new emulator that I am just in love with called OpenEMU. OpenEMU. I got it on my Mac. I'm sure they have a Windows version of it. But it categorizes all your emulators into what console they're for. And it also puts them like in a library that with cover art and everything. Looks just like Netflix. It's perfect for any emulation needs.
Open what did it cost you?
Oh, it's free.
Now, is it free by emulator MU? Or is it just free for Bobby?
No, it's free. It's open source, I believe.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the emulator's free. I mean, the ROMs, you kind of have to dig around for those to find the right ones. But usually the Nintendo ones are pretty easy to come by. And I also use it on my phone a lot, too. I play old Super Nintendo games on my phone.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big advantages, is our phone is more powerful than any of these consoles were back in the day.
By so much.
By so much. So...
You got to get a controller if you're going to use your phone, though, because when you have the keys on the screen and your fingers are matched around, yeah, that's so annoying.
I mean, we're saying, right now, we're saying, like, phones are up to PS3 standards, right?
Not PS3.
Between 2 and 3.
PS2, maybe PS2 standards.
Yeah. But, this is really great. I mean, I love all of this. There's a huge retro gaming movement. They have their own conventions and stuff. I never understood it. I think play something that was made this year. It's so much better than what you've played. Yeah, they're more complex, but with complexity, they're just better. But that's just my personal opinion. Just right now, as we were talking about, I remember my favorite Nintendo game of all time. It had Ark in the name, and it was half RTS and then half side-scroll beat-em-up. It was awesome. Like, before I knew what RTS was and what side-scroll beat-em-up was, like, you had to build your city, and then when the darkness came, it wasn't city, it was just, like, it was spreading to the land, but when it affected one of your cities, your Conan's, you were a god, and you would come down and enchant one of their statues, and then you would go and beat back the... It was awesome. I played it all night.
But you don't know what this is called.
Ark something. And Ark I played something. It all night. Because I rented it.
Back when you used to have to rent games.
And now I'm like, I should look into that right now when he said all that. But
yeah.
It'd be fun for 2 minutes.
My favorite Nintendo old school River City Rampage.
Yeah.
That game was a blast.
Wait, that has nothing to do with Road Redemption, right?
Where you punch him and all the coins pop out?
Yeah.
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 I remember that game.
Was there a reboot?
Somebody made Retro City Rampage, which is not related to River City Rampage.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
But Bobby, that motorcycle game that you...
Road Rash?
Yeah, and then the new version came out?
They
had their full release.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Maybe I'll go back and check that out. Because that was a lot of fun. I spent a solid 5 hours that I thoroughly enjoyed on that. They redo a lot of old games. Recently, they redid They call it Blue Coats, North vs. South, but the original Nintendo game was, I think the original Nintendo game was North vs. South. It was a Civil War game, and it had a lot of different things going on. It was like an RTS, but then it also had, when you invaded a fort, it was like a side-scroller type game, and it also had a Battlefield element to it. The game is totally made, the new version is made for the iPad. Like, it's made for a touch screen, so it's a little difficult on the computer, but...
Speaking of Civil War stuff, you heard about this Confederate flag business. Yeah. Apparently, Apple pulled any game with the Confederate flag on it.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah, I thought that was a little extreme. Yeah. Like, if you have like a historical app or whatever,
yeah, of course
they're going to pull it regardless. If you got this
or war, flag. Game, yeah.
So
anyway, thanks for bringing this up, Labonkey. It's a great point and something we really don't think about. But it really does. I mean, you can look at, people are going crazy that they're rebooting the Final Fantasy VII, but you can play that anytime you want to. Yeah. It's right there. So yeah, it's a great advantage to PC gaming that is not often appreciated. And thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. Cool. What else we got?
Go ahead, Chad.
R. Williams, this is our first question from him/her. It would be pretty interesting to hear you guys talk about relationships you've had in your life or just the most current, and if it's better to date a gamer girl or not, i.e. is the relationship better or have a better chance to survive if both people like the game?
I would say yes, right off the bat. I mean,
the girl you're dating is not a gamer, though.
No, although I did get her into Jurassic Park, and she, on her own, bought Lego Harry Potter and even just texted me today and said she's been playing it for like 4 hours. So,
but it could be both those games are co-op, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so she's not waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on Jurassic Park.
Fucking drop that bitch, dude. I am tired of this shit. You know what? It doesn't work out, R. Williams.
No, that's why she got Lego Harry Potter, so she could continue to play, and then we could play Jurassic Park together.
They're so easy, Jurassic right? Because if you die, you just like pop out.
It really is. There's no penalty for dying. That's a perfect game to start someone on who, she has absolutely no history in gaming. She never had a console in the household, so she is completely unfamiliar with how controllers, it's starting from zero. It's really interesting to watch. But I've dated girls who played video games before, and I mean, it didn't work out, but I don't think it was over that. I would say it would be better in general because that person would be a little more understanding. It's like parents in the 90s when all the kids started playing computer games and video games, and all they see is a kid staring at a screen for hours and hours. They don't understand what's going on mentally. They just think this kid's just wasting their time. And if you have someone, if you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't game, then they're probably going to consider it the same thing. You know, they're going to look at it that way and not really understand. So I don't know. I think it would make things a little more copacetic, but I don't know. I can't talk too much from experience.
Good word, by the way.
I can speak on this extensively. Chad, you got anything?
First? Never dated a gamer girl. I tend to date girls that look down on gaming.
I think you've also said that you wouldn't want one, right?
I've actually hid the fact that I'm into gaming with girls I've dated before.
You know what? Fuck you, man.
Because it's just, I didn't want to have to have the conversation, and I don't know. I have always said I don't want to date a gamer girl because I want my gaming time to be my time and our relationship time to be relationship time. But, you know, maybe that would change if I dated somebody that is into gaming. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Where are we at on time, Bob? This might get extensive.
We're at about an hour.
Okay. I'll try to keep it short. I went through an entire relationship. We just broke up. So I went through an entire relationship with a gamer girl who wasn't really, but she played games and she had played games before me. And then we played games together, which was awesome. I talked about it on the podcast, how I think that working towards a common goal with anybody is like a team building practice. And so, you know, we were playing and having fun and laughing at the same things and couldn't believe when that happened in Binding of Isaac. And, you know, when there wasn't a movie to watch, that was always there. She would bother me about playing video games. I was so into it. You can go back. It was probably about 10 episodes ago. I was so stoked. I've never had a gamer girl. Totally worked out. I thought that was awesome. That had nothing to do with the demise of a relationship. If anything, I think it helped it a little bit more. So I think I can completely recommend it. Now, if your girl is not a gaming girl, it's all about the right game.
Yeah.
You could get your mom and dad into games if you get, if you just find the right little thing that isn't hard, that has something they, that interests them, and that they can, because it's all about reward systems, right? So if you could get something where they don't feel like they're a loser the entire time, and definitely don't beat them to the pulp. Don't do that. Don't fucking six hit combo all you can fucking dragon punch them all day. That's not the way to do this. Haha, you're, no, just put them on the right game. A lot of people say Portal because there's no bad guys, but way too 3D, way too spatial for most people. There's way too much going on there for them to enjoy it. I like to do
maybe... You gotta start off with a side-scroller. Something two-dimensional.
Binding of Isaac, I like a lot for this, but probably not for a girl, although my ex really liked it. So, yeah. If I were to take yes, gamer girl, or no gamer girl, definitely a gamer girl. But, you know, I'm one who would rather play a game than watch TV. So, if she's there for that... I mean, I play Broforce for myself, by myself now, and it's not as good as when she... No,
I think though, if you have a girl that does play games, it's important to understand that games are competitive, and if you guys are playing a competitive game, that's going to lead to conflict. The best games to play are obviously going to be the cooperative games, because like you're saying, you're working towards a common goal. It can build up the relationship. If you guys are playing Counter-Strike against each other, you might. It might lead to some problems in the relationship, you know?
Could. So. I mean, I've seen sports couples, like they're both way into sports, yeah, have huge blow-ups, yeah, over fucking stupid-ass shit. And it's, yeah, just like...
Well, you think all sports are stupid, so...
It probably depends on the game, too. I mean, if it's Dota or something, then yeah, that's not...
But I know a lot of couples that play WoW together. You know, like MMOs is a common one that,
yeah,
that you get a lot of couples and they... Maybe even meet each other on games like that.
I think
that.
The Lego games are great to start with, and also Telltale games, because that's kind of a midpoint between television and gaming.
Yeah.
So it's a really easy transfer for a lot of people who have never dove into gaming.
We talked about sports for just a second. I need to interject. If you're not a UFC fan or if you've never seen MMA, UFC 189 is going down as the greatest UFC that's ever happened. So if you can somehow to get it, then watch it and it'll change your outlook on the whole thing. I just got to throw that in there as a big fan.
Because Amila loves UFC.
Yeah. So let's get into some news.
Wait, we got one more.
UF:C.
At Rightful Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Post it on Twitter.
On Twitter. Thanks for hitting it up on Twitter. If you want to get to us, that's another fast way to do it.
He says, I have a living room PC and it's hard to game with a mouse and keyboard. Do you have any suggestions, Steam controller? Well, Steam controller's not out yet.
The
new version isn't out yet.
None of us have tried the old version.
Apparently,
it was pretty problematic.
Xbox controller will definitely work. We are actually out in the living room right now and we've got a, what is it? It's not Bluetooth. Is this a Bluetooth keyboard that we're using right now?
The Logitech K800, I don't think so. I think this is an RF signal, 2.4 gigahertz.
Really?
No, it's a wireless signal, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so...
Oh, and it's working fine, like no problems from through a wall at maybe 20 feet.
You know what that reminds me, though? I mean, the Xbox controller is probably the best controller ever designed. It's great, especially for PC gaming, and everything's just so fluid. You plug it in, it works. You don't have to map keys or do whatever in most games, but... the wireless receiver, when I started to play these Lego games with my girlfriend, she's got two controllers and a wireless receiver over there for them, and it was broken. And that happened to mine a while ago, too. That's actually the third one that I've gone through. Have you guys had any problems?
No, with wireless? Not yet. I gave him my spare, but he never uses it, so.
I use it sometimes.
Not the controller itself, but the wireless receiver for the wireless ones. I blow through those, apparently. I don't know what the deal is.
I would definitely go with the Xbox controller, not the new Elite one. If you need a solution right now, and definitely don't pre-order anything ever. don't pre-order this Steam controller.
Well, you can anyways. It's sold out, right?
You just gotta wait. Just gotta wait to see how they are. If you can wait to see how the reviews are. I've heard good things, but you never know. I know for a fact the Xbox controller will work, and most games they have. their corresponding buttons are to the corresponding buttons on a, not a, a, yeah, PS2 controller. It's the Xbox.
However, if you're a PC gamer, a mouse and keyboard is a necessity. Like, you cannot PC game without a mouse and keyboard. If you're only using a controller, you know, like, you're playing console games.
Well, he's saying he has a living room PC, so he doesn't have to worry about the distance or anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, if you're in the living room, find a way to get your mouse and keyboard to work. Set up a table.
You would need a wireless. Okay, you would need a wireless keyboard, wireless mouse.
Yep.
And you would need, like, one of those, one of those things eat breakfast off of that go over your lap. Yeah. That would work, right?
Yeah. I think the point is, what I'm saying is, if you're limited to a controller, you're limited to the games you can play. If you got a mouse and keyboard, the whole PC market is opened up to you.
I don't know. Right. See, in that case, I might hold out for the Steam controller, because that's coming up soon, and that's supposed to bridge the gap between keyboard and mouse and Steam control or and Xbox controllers. That sounds like a really hard thing to do. I mean, can you imagine playing an RTS or a game like Civ 5 with a controller? No. But, you know, one of those analog sticks was supposed to be kind of like a touchpad or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd hear it out and see what happens.
I have heard really good things about it, but who knows? Never pre-order anything, folks. By the way, I just pre-ordered Fallout 4.
Tell me your story about Fallout Vault real quick.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. So I deleted it because it was taking up too much time. But it's a good game.
What is it? It's iOS. It's a mobile game, right?
It's a mobile game, iOS. It's basically, if you ever played XCOM, Enemy Unknown, it's got that side view of these little rooms. You're the overseer of a vault. So you need to manage what rooms are being built, kind of not really personalities, but more, what person goes in what room. You're trying to expand, keep everybody alive, keep everybody happy. Happier they are, the more productive they are, whatever. I talked about it before. It's a good game. It's free, and they don't hit you up for money. So why? Just go for it. It's not even an issue. It's just a weird thing that kind of popped up. So everybody's got their job, right? So if you're really good at agility, you put you in the kitchen. Or you could go out and fight. Agility is good for that. Strength goes in with the waterworks because you got to change pipes, stuff like that. It's called special. There's a bunch of different stats. Luck is good for like when you roll the dice. And then there's charisma, which is good for fucking making babies. And you can take it from me. I've practiced making babies a lot, and that's all for my charisma. Now, so I got this guy, and he's got the highest charisma in the whole vault. And he happens to be a black guy. And so he's the only black guy in the vault. And so I put him in the common room. And that's where all the mingling happens. Like, it won't happen anywhere else. So anyone who's not pregnant, I put in there, and immediately he walks over and starts spitting game right away. You're the apple of my eye. I couldn't believe living on the ground without anybody else. I've never felt this way before. Same lines he gives to every girl. Same ones. Doesn't matter if she's fat, ugly, doesn't matter. No charisma. He's on it like white on rice. So by just a natural progression of what's going on, every kid in the vault right now is black.
He's the only one making babies.
He's the only one making babies because he's the best at it. So if you're going to take one thing from this, just know there's a right job for everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Even if you got no practical skills, you can still bang it out all day, every day.
So from that humorous story to a little sadder one, apparently, what is his name? Satoru Iwata, who is the Nintendo president. He died at 55.
55, that's young.
Die young, dude. Those Japanese businessmen, there's a statistic, they die really early. Yeah. The stress levels are just ridiculous. What's expected about them is really tough. So, you know, I checked about three things. None said what it was from. Maybe they keep that thing private in Japan. Yeah. You know, here it'd probably be national news or whatever, but...
Now, Iwata, is he the one that created Super Mario Brothers, or is that somebody else?
No, that was somebody else. That was
Super Smash Bros.
Super Smash Brothers, yes. He created Super Smash Brothers, and he oversaw the DS, the Wii, the DS, 3DDS, and he even gave himself a 50% pay cut when they were having a bad year, which is like the last 4 years or so.
I was going to say, and related to this news, what's your favorite Nintendo game? But we kind of talked about that earlier. So
yeah, a lot of people have, you know, they praise this guy. Obviously, he was a good dude. He was on the right path. I mean, just doing Super Smash Brothers. But he did steer the company into this Wii swinging, you know. Wii did very well.
And so did DS, and so did 3DS.
Right, but Wii U is where it took a bad turn.
I mean, he missed one out of four.
That's really good, actually. Yeah.
So, I saw an interview with him, and you know how important family is and honor and honoring your parents and stuff. He said when he chose to go into video games, his father basically disowned him and didn't talk to him for a year. And he said it was really hard on him, but you know, he had the optimism of youth, and he knew video games was going to take off. So he stuck with video games and eventually made up with his father. But it's kind of crazy. Like, you don't do that in Japan, and this guy did, but it paid off for him.
Wow. Yeah. So. I mean, a lot of gaming history goes up to this guy right here. So,
yeah,
hats off to him.
Yeah. GG. Okay. Yeah, seriously. All right, what else are we talking about?
Star Citizen, their executive producer leaves not long after senior producer. I should probably read that before I say it so it doesn't I don't sound like an idiot. Like, I don't know how to make a sentence. I didn't know things were that was happening over at Star Citizen, though.
Yeah, I mean, and there's like an indefinite delay on their first-person shooter.
I heard about that. Yeah. I didn't know. Was that related to this?
We can only speculate.
Just so much going on
there's
in this game.
So much. The scope is too big.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, let's build a country instead of focusing on a city.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just too much all at once. But who knows? Maybe something will come out of this. But before you start selling $400 spaceships to people, make sure your shit works.
Yeah.
Please. Like, it's a bit much. I don't know what more to say.
Do they have a playable release of this game? I mean, I've seen demos, but they don't have an alpha. So.
They've had closed alphas that I've heard people get into, but I don't know anybody specifically that has.
I'm not even a little bit excited about this game anymore. I don't know what it is.
You're just kind of over it. The hype train's left the station already.
When it comes to Star Citizen, I think we're in for a longer wait than the Oculus. We've been talking about the Oculus for like 4 or 5 years now, it feels like, but I think we'll be waiting longer for this one.
Yeah.
In other news, I bought a 970 and I installed it yesterday. I ran the first thing I ran was The Witcher. I turned up the graphics to Ultra. There were some new weather effects, but besides that, it wasn't a huge jump. I went from, numbers wise, it's a huge jump, but I haven't seen it yet, I guess. It stutters a lot less on Witcher 3, which is nice, and the graphics are better. So that's all I could say, because I've been playing a lot of like fucking not so graphically intense games, but that's no fault of the card, you know?
Yeah,
it's just,
We're also running a resolution of 1680x1050, right. So that's not really going to tax that as much as like a 1080p resolution.
Right.
You'll be able to get a higher frame rate with, you'll be able to turn up things like anti-aliasing and stuff like that. Maybe you should try running Grand Theft Auto 5, because that seems to be the one that anytime a new card comes out, they're always running that game on it.
So I got something to bring up with you, Bobby. You've been on vacation. We have two games to finish together. We have Grand Theft Auto 5, and we have Original Sin. And not a word from you. You're on incognito in every...
I've been on battle.net,
Friendster.
Man.
Friendster, you're gone.
What's Friendster?
I don't know. I just made it up. Twitter, never see you.
I'm not on Twitter. Okay. I don't have a Facebook
Steam,
account.
Steam.
MySpace, you're hardly ever there.
Whenever you're over at my house, I will show you. We can sit down at my computer and I will click sign in on Steam.
I don't go over there anymore because you don't answer the door when I knock.
But if I sign in, it's the funniest thing. If I sign in on Steam and go uninvisible, if I go visible, I guess they call it, then immediately, dude, it's the funniest thing. Immediately, just messages start popping up. Just like random stuff from people I don't even know.
Game invites. Skype. Why are you invisible on Skype?
I haven't been logging into Skype
that much. He doesn't like us, dude. Yeah. We were playing last night.
Yeah.
He chose to keep going. We got to talk this off the air. Apparently, there's some shit going down.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm playing Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, by the way, we're going to play Heroes of the Storm tomorrow. I got a twosome that wants to play tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
So
cool. Are they hot?
Yeah.
Are they brown?
They're both dudes. Oh. But I guess they're...
Yeah, I've been playing a ton of that game, and I've been playing almost exclusively ranked. I'm down to, like, rank 10. I've been bouncing between 8 and 10. I'm getting into single digits, but I'm reaching that point of the game where you just play so much that you start losing. You feel the loss more, you know? It's like when Smite got serious, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting to that point.
You do the same thing.
That's why he didn't invite us.
You're like Emilio, too. You focus on a game until it literally kills you, and then you'd stop playing and never play it again.
Yeah, at least we focus on games and not on fucking 50s. This guy's watching 50s murder dramas from the BBC.
Not 50s. Like late 90s.
Late 90s.
Late 90s. Yeah. Well, I have been watching a lot of Twin Peaks lately, so I can't really...
Twin Peaks, that's only two seasons.
Yeah.
Can't watch a lot of it.
Well, no, the first season, 6 episodes. I'm like, oh, I can do that. Second season, 22 episodes. I'm like, fuck, that was a curveball. Like, it's taking me forever because I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's
that
wrap
got
this
off
up.
Topic.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this bad
so you
boy
can
up.
Check us out at dlgaming.net.
Wait. What are we talking next week?
Hex.
Hex, yeah.
Yeah, we've been playing a little bit. We like it.
Trading card game.
But we'll definitely get into it. Hopefully this will go along with an interview with the CEO / Princess Corey.
Princess? Oh, because
he put himself in the game as Princess Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll do that. Oh, I shouted it out to the whole Steam group, so maybe you played it and you'll see what our insights are and something that you're playing now.
The other game that I've been wanting to play, so this game came out recently on Steam called Rocket League, and apparently a lot of Twitch action on this game recently, and I actually have a buddy that works for the company that made it. So I'm going to hopefully pick up Rocket League. It's still $20 right now, so I'm not thrilled about picking that up, but I'll probably pick it up and give it a go if I have time.
So, week. Bobby, Lego Harry Potter?
Hello, Lego.
Definitely more Lego Jurassic World. I'm gonna be playing a lot of that. I don't know if I'm going to get into any of the other Lego games, because they are all kind of the same, but I'm really liking Jurassic
That's
World.
That's crazy, man.
But... I also want to check out Rocket League. Does look good. I've heard about that, and I'm interested in that. There's also for sale on Steam right now for like $9 is Captain Forever Remix, which has been on my wish list for a while. It's a weird little game. It's a remix. I guess it was an older game.
Right next to Tax Boy 2000.
Yeah, Wall Street Boy.
No, you might actually like this. You like float through space and you fight other ships that have detachable parts, and then you can take their parts and add them onto your ship. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
That's not Reassemble? I saw Reassemble today. It looked pretty, just like that.
That's on my wish list also.
Oh, yeah.
Reassemble? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, okay. It looks good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I actually had a lot going on this week, so I wasn't able to do a whole lot aside from playing countless hours of Heroes of the Storm. So hopefully this week I'll be able to get into more. I'll tell you what, though. I've completely lost interest in Darkest Dungeon. Like, I just maxed that game out and just haven't touched it since.
And then when you hit the wall on Heroes of the Storm, you're never going to pick that game up again.
I think it's because I'm playing people that are much higher rank now, so I'm... You know, fighting tooth and nail for wins at this point. And the old group that I used to play with, I guess they're not around anymore. They moved on to other games. And
take the hint.
Yeah.
No, I want to play more Heroes of the Storm, but I can't find anybody to play with because.
How do we do? We lost a lot, right? Or I don't remember.
No, we did pretty well.
Right.
I even started playing a little Hearthstone too, like nothing crazy, just kind of casual because It's funny how easily I could pick that game back up, though. Yeah, like, I got right back in. I'm like, oh, yeah, this isn't hard at all.
Yeah.
I was, like, halfway through an arena. Like, I got 2 wins, no losses on an arena. I was like, how long has that been sitting there for?
Now, Hex, for a non-TCG or non-Magic player, I think is going to be very complex.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. So... sure.
Bobby, do the spiel. All right. Do the titties.
Officially we'll wrapping it up. DLGaming.net is the website. You can find our Twitter, Twitch, Steam group,
YouTube.
Everything's on there. Check out the website. Any questions, comments, direct that towards Twitter or the Steam group. I don't know. What do we prefer now? It's always been on the Steam group, but Twitter's really starting
to pick up.
You
can even email us, dudes@DLGaming.net.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's the best way, though.
No. But
I check that shit a lot. Recently, actually. Just in case you're a lady listener, we have our lady listeners. This is not a sexual thing. I just like to end the thing with titties because, you know,
they're awesome. Everybody can appreciate them.
Everybody can appreciate them. I want to just end the show on a good, voluptuous, round note.
Yeah. Full bodied.
So, speaking for Bobby and Chad and for Emilio, thank you for listening. Titties.